Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate this morning on the gospel lesson. If you'd like to follow along, it's from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, our humble Savior, dearly redeemed believers, he was the most pitiful human being I have ever seen in my life. We walked out the doors of the church, and there he was only a few yards away. And the closer we got, the less we wanted to get any closer. You see pictures sometimes on TV or images of famine victims and beggars where there are flies around, but these are not like the flies of northern Minnesota. To walk past a human being whose flesh is rotting, to see the flies matted on his body, eating, it's the stench they can't show in the pictures, that you can't read about in the newspaper. He was a beggar. And you're not. You're in nice clothes. You have food and shelter, a roof over your head, plenty to eat. So what do you do when you confront suffering? Good stewards, listen to God's word. Have pity in times of plenty. That beggar that accosted my nostrils was not in America. It was outside the gates of Thanksgiving Church in Wuhan, China. And I don't think his name was Lazarus. But I can sure see, I learned from him why lepers and those were looked down upon, and why in the Holy Spirit's Greek original here, it doesn't just say he was laid at the gate, it literally says they threw him at the gate. Those relatives or friends or just acquaintances that were kind enough to at least take him where he could beg, didn't want to stick around any longer than they had to, whether for the shame or the stench, they threw him there. And they got away as quickly as they could. The beggar in Wuhan, China, was there when we left to go out through the alley and out to the street. And the pastor said, don't give him anything. We talked to the pastor about it later. They said, just go by. Why? How can you just walk by and not help? We've tried. His relatives take all the money. They take all the food. They take all his clothing. His relatives keep him in that poverty-stricken state because he is their money-making machine. Americans, you can't just throw money at every problem and walk away and think it's done. Good stewards listen to God's word. Have pity in times of plenty. And that's not just a looking down upon someone pity, where we tend to say, don't pity me. There's nothing at all like that in this grace of God in Christ. When you see Jesus showing pity, it's not just a feeling. And it's not just trying to get the problem over with by throwing him there or throwing money and walking away. There is a dignity and a strength and a genuine love in the kind of pity that our Lord Jesus shows. It's such pity that even on lepers, this man covered with sores, it doesn't say he was a leper, but for lepers that were unclean according to Jewish law and were nothing but objects of stones, pelted by stones by their fellow Jews, according to the historian Josephus, those lepers even, the Lord Jesus would physically touch them with his kindness and his love and even heal them. And those Christians in China did not just ignore that beggar at the gate. It was very hard to accept that advice to be told not to give money. But we were assured, we're taking care of this quietly on the side in ways that actually amount to something, and not just throwing money at the problem. One of the things I love about the Lord Jesus, my Lord Jesus, is this kind-hearted love and pity that will not walk away, that truly cares enough to do something and say something about this rich man and poor Lazarus. The rich man dressed in purple and fine linen lived in luxury, and there was the beggar named Lazarus covered with sores. That covered with sores terms is a medical term quite common in ancient times. It's the only place in the New Testament where it's used. It's another indication that Luke was a doctor. Luke's gospel here uses a medical term nowhere else in the New Testament. Covered with sores, it was a diagnosis. This man was in trouble. And he didn't have too many friends, not like the other guy. Who were the friends of Lazarus? The four-footed kind, the wagging tails kind, the kind that gave him some relief in licking his sores. But the man dressed in purple that lived in luxury every day, not a crumb would fall off his table that could get past the dogs and even be swept out the door to Lazarus languishing at his gate. So is that why Lazarus went to heaven? Because he was poor? Is that why the rich man went to hell? Because he was rich? Oh, there's a lot of people in America that would like to tell us that today and just ignore all the wealthy people in the scripture. Say that money is the root of all kinds of evil, when really the Lord says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Or they'll give you that theology of glory and tell you that if you're really a Christian, these things don't happen to you. Like Job's friends who really want to pin something on him and say all this tragedy came into your life because of something you must have done. A lot of American Christians like that today too. And the Lord rebuked all that among Job's friends and said no. And yet Job could not question the Lord when the Lord took away his prosperity. These words are in the context of all of Scripture where the Lord tells us clearly it's not poverty or riches that get a person into heaven. The Lord does not show favoritism. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't look at your face to see if it's beautiful or not, whether or not he accepts you, or look at your position in life to see whether or not you're someone who is respected in the community or not. Whoever believes is saved. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's unbelief that damns. And you could see unbelief written all over the rich man. In his complacency, his carelessness, his attitude with his riches over against those who needed his pity. And Lazarus obviously had nothing to offer. Nothing but his putrid sores and the stench. Nothing but his sickness and his death. Nothing but what you and I have to offer to the Lord. Because all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Don't you have to admit that sometimes even when you help, there's that little pat on your own back as if somehow I've done a good thing that somehow makes me closer to God? We church people fall into that all the time. We want to insert our own works in there and act as if something we did should bring us closer to God, as if somehow that's better than the righteousness of Jesus Christ that can only be received by faith. Our Lord Jesus wants us to see ourselves there, and instead of looking at that pitiful human being and saying you must have done something to get yourself there, pull yourselves up by the bootstraps or whatever. In humble faith to say, there but for the grace of God lay I. If it weren't for God's mercy and grace, that's me for all eternity. That's me and my sins, my putrid sores, my carelessness, my complacency, my lack of pity in times of plenty. Then we can understand more clearly why the beggar died and went to heaven. The angels carried him there because he belonged to Jesus by faith, according to the rest of Scripture. And the rich man in unbelief woke up in torment in that place in the Greek that's called Hades, the holding place for souls separated from their bodies. And souls can feel that raging thirst in that place where there's not a drop of water anywhere and not a drop to drink. That raging thirst that begged Father Abraham to just send Lazarus. Now he's calling Father Abraham. Now he wants Lazarus to be his friend. Now he wants just a drop of water on the tip of his tongue, because that would be some relief. Father Abraham, have pity on me, though I had no pity in my time of grace. Have pity on me and send Lazarus, the man I ignored when he needed pity. Send Lazarus and have him dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire. The Lord is serious. That full tummy and full gas tank and full bank account and all those blessings, the roof that doesn't leak, the house set out there in such a beautiful neighborhood, all those things are blessings from God for which he wants us to give thanks. And don't set your heart on them. Do not think for a minute that the Lord cannot instantly take it all away as he did for Job and make a lesson of our life as he did that old man in the oldest book, the ancient book in the Bible. Pity in times of plenty and an honest admission, Lord, I have not shown pity as I ought. I need my Savior, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, to help me to listen, to be a good steward, to pay attention to his word and look forward to plenty in the paradise of God. Abraham replied, do you hear the kindness in his word? He could have really just thrown it back at that rich man down there across that chasm in hell. Kind words. The torment is what it is. Son, remember? On the other side, you had your plenty, all the things that the heart could desire. The wine, women, and song. That's all you lived for. It was all there. Lazarus, he had nothing. But on the other side, things turn around. The last will be first and the first will be last. Those despised by the people of the world are honored by God. And those honored by men are despised by God. And what really counts in the end? Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and Lazarus' bad things. He's comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, we can't cross over. There's this deep chasm here. We can't get to you, you can't get to us. Here it is. Well, there's awakening here in the rich man, but it's a little too late. Too little, too late. He can't get the drop of water for his tongue, but now he's all concerned about those in his father's house. His relatives back home. The ones living the way he used to live in materialism and greed. You got any relatives like that? When is the time to care for them, to pray for them, to reach out to them, to give them a good example of what good stewards do when they listen to God's word? Times when perhaps you just need to speak up and say, no, I won't be there because I'll be in the Lord's house. I'll come later. To somehow in your way of living, to show that God's word is first and foremost in your mind, and it is God's word that not only teaches us by example the pity of Christ, but gives us that pity in our hearts. Because we're not living for here and now. We're living for hereafter. We're looking forward to the paradise of God. I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house and warn them. Give them a thorough witness of what it's like down here, so they won't come to this place of torment. Oh, okay, yeah, I'll just send Lazarus down there. That'll work really good, won't it? Last time Lazarus was at your house, you remember what you did with him? You really think now? I'd be sarcastic. I really would. You really think now that if I send Lazarus to your door, they're going to care about him at this point? Abraham's too kind. He's the father of all believers. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. And let the scholars listen to what Jesus just said too. He's not accommodating himself to some kind of theological lie that said Moses wrote the first five books, but really it was a whole bunch of other guys, and this is all just thrown together. This is what seminaries all over the world teach today. Moses didn't really write the first five books. Jesus just said he did. Who are you going to believe? That's really all this is. Who are you going to believe? He says Moses and the prophets, he refers to that as God's word, the Holy Scriptures. He says that's all that's needed. There's this whole sufficiency in the word of God. Who are you going to listen to? That's really what it comes down to. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You have God's word. Moses and the prophets and all that word that came after. If you know the first 11 chapters of Genesis, you've got all the doctrines of the Bible. That's what Luther pointed out one time. Genesis 1 through 11, all the doctrines of the Bible are right there. The rest of it is all commentary. It's true. And you've got all that. You can see back to when Christ was promised as the Messiah who would suffer and die. You see how he came and with his blood washed away your sins of complacency, materialism, greed, and all those things that ought to eternally leave us in the garbage dump of hell. And you see the righteousness of Christ in the pity that really does something and really cares and doesn't just walk away. And that's yours. Because Moses and the prophets told about it. And God brought it to pass. And don't think that anybody's going to listen to you and accept what you say about that any quicker than the rich man in hell when he heard it from Abraham. He wants to argue. So don't feel bad when people want to argue with you. You're standing in good company. You're right with the Father of believers. They argued with him, they argue with you, and they'll argue with all of us. But no, Father Abraham, he said. But if someone from the dead goes back to them, they will repent. Oh, that really worked real well. Remember the other Lazarus? The one that was in the grave 4 days, the brother of Mary and Martha? They didn't even want Jesus to bring him out because he stinketh. He's a four-dayer. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And then he says, let him go. Loose him from the grave clothes. Do you remember what the Jewish religious leaders did at that time with the other Lazarus, a different guy? Did they say, wow, that's really something. You know, he was absolutely dead. He was in that grave for 4 days. Jesus has the power to raise from the dead. He must be God. Let's follow Jesus as the Messiah. No. Their solution was, we got to kill Lazarus. Put him dead again. Put him back in the grave. And then when Jesus rose from the dead, did it really work? Or do they to this day find ways to deny the resurrection? Whether it's Christ raising someone or Christ raising himself. But it all comes down to this. Abraham replied, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Are you? Good stewards listening to God's word, looking forward to the plenty in the paradise of God, so that on this side we don't have to grab on to everything that we can get or hang on to it for fear of losing it. But we can be liberal in the best sense of the term. Liberal in the biblical sense, that means open-handed and generous. So what the word meant before it took on political connotations, but in Christ's way of looking at things, that's what he wants. So, you try. You try thanking God for his blessings, like Lazarus probably thanked God for those dogs licking his sores, because that's the only relief he had. Kind of like Christians in prison thank God for cockroaches. You know why? Entertainment. That's all they got. But I remember having a very sinking feeling one time when I helped a very nice man parked in our parking lot, rusty old car, but dressed to sell, just needed to get back across the river to his route and make his sales and, you know, just fill his gas tank, give him lunch, and then some of the best pieces from my wood shop, and the sinking feeling as he drives away and thinking, till a month later, find out he's got two warrants for his arrest in Hennepin County. He was telling the same line to pastors and priests up and down the line. Christ is God's wisdom. He teaches us pity within the framework of God's word so that we don't have to make the same mistake twice, but still have pity. So we have a photocopier. We can get license numbers, and we can photocopy licenses if people want help. Sure, generous congregation. Take them over and fill the tank. We'll do it for Jesus' sake. And that passage that kept ringing in my head as that man drove away, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. I learned it in the King James and Catechism class. That's what sticks. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Jesus says all these things we do out of kindness and love in pity, Christ-like pity, is really done for him. So are you surprised that when the family finances were in difficulty a few months later, that a relative that we repaid for a car loan sent us back the 9% interest, and it was 50 times what I lost? You bank with God, you never lose. Good stewards listen to God's word. Pity in times of plenty. And look forward to the plenty of paradise with God, guaranteed in the blood of Christ and given to you by faith in him, along with all the righteousness that you need now to live in your life. Christ-like pity that works. Amen.